So nice to have each one of you here this morning. Been out of the pulpit for a couple weeks with going down to Colorado and then having Sam and Elizabeth share their slides from Israel with us last week. And so it's given me some time to kind of step back and reflect upon myself and ministry, our church and its ministry in the community. And over the past couple months, I've been thinking a lot about True Life Church and the ministry that we enjoy here. And I've reflected back on the sermons that have been given in regard to the Gospel of John. And during these times of reflection on the church ministry and the Gospel of John, God has brought to my attention a relational dynamic that occurred between Jesus and his disciples, and how the disciples grew from uneducated men who had no formal training concerning the law and had no influence in Israel concerning religious matters to becoming worldwide change agents for God, who have influenced many, many generations that followed them for Christ. Just think for a moment how influential the disciples of Jesus have been in the world over these past couple thousand years. Amazing to think about how these uneducated, obscure men have become such change agents in the world. It's amazing. It's miraculous. You might even be able to say that it's a God thing that all of that has taken place. All of these things have happened through the work and the ministry of the disciples of Jesus. It began in its beginning with the relational dynamic that occurred between Jesus and these men. They didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, we're going to change the world for Jesus. Let's go help Judaism out, and let's help the Jews grasp who Jesus is, and let's establish a religious dynamic that is going to impact the Gentile world for centuries to come. Things happened in the lives of these men that helped them become difference makers for Christ in their culture, and to help them become different makers in lands beyond their culture. So much of what we see here today, things that we talk about in regard to God and our understanding of God, come from these very men. The way we worship God, then the things that we teach in the church, the things that impact our thinking as to what godliness looks like and is, God used these men as his instrument of righteousness to give us those principles. Just take a moment to try and grasp how these uneducated, unattached people in terms of having great influence of people became great men of God and impact us today. In the Gospel of John, I noticed in Jesus' relationship with his disciples that Jesus first sought to reach out and embrace his disciples in a sincere and compassionate personal relationship way. Remember, mankind was separated from God because of sin, and Jesus, in coming to earth and ministering in Israel, sought to first reestablish the personal relationship between man and God. Jesus needed to heal the wounds of sin, which were a barrier to our relationship with the Lord and brought to us eternal separation. That God, even though man acted so badly, God came forth and he brought to us the gift of forgiveness and eternal life for humanity. Now, that principle just seems kind of strange in itself, doesn't it? If he is God, doesn't it seem like we should be coming to him to give to him? But yet, he is God in our greatest time of need and in our separation from him. He, God, came to us, the offender, and he being the offended, and he gave us the gift of forgiveness. and eternal life. Now, as Jesus reached out to his disciples by developing a personal relationship with these men became daily companions of Jesus. And I want you to understand the relational dynamic here. The way that these men became difference makers in their culture and in all generations to come behind them is that it first started with God reaching out to them, bringing them the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And then these men became daily companions of Jesus. And as Jesus interacted with his disciples, Jesus taught and instructed them concerning a better way. A better way than what the world would offer them, a better way than what the devil could offer them, a better way than what the flesh could offer them. Jesus invested himself in his companions, looking out for their best interest and guiding them into wisdom and wise decision making. As Jesus' relationship grew with his disciples and as the disciples embraced the better way, they became advocates for the kingdom of God and they became servants of God, ministering to others as they sought to share the good news of the gospel and the ministry of God's love and compassion and kindness with the world. Jesus called his disciples to be the light of love and kindness and compassion. Thus, the pattern that existed between Jesus and the followers looked somewhat like this. Jesus established a personal relationship with sinful mankind and brought the love and grace of God down to mankind. As that relationship was established, they became companions of Jesus, and in that companionship, Jesus began to instruct and teach them into a better way, and in that better way that they learned to love God, to love others, and to live for God, and to live for the benefit of others. And then as they learned the lessons that Jesus had brought to them, Jesus then led them. He empowered them to serve God based upon the personal relationship, the teaching and the instruction, and the commitment that they made to glorify God with their life. As I reflected on this pattern of growth and relationship to Jesus and his followers, and as I observed Jesus' ministry on earth, it got me thinking about our calling and ministry development here at True Life Church. Over the past 6 years, we've been focused on improving our personal relationship with God. We've studied the Word of God together, trying to give the Word of God its rightful place and authority in our lives. And I have to say that I've never been attached to a church where prayer has been such an enormous part of a church's personal relationship with the Lord. I love engaging God in the strong and active prayer journey that we share together as the body of Christ. This is all part of that relationship development with God. And as we think about that relationship development with God, we established a model that kind of goes along with that, make it real. And the idea being that we wanted to have authentic relationships with God. And we summarized that model with a little saying, doing the right thing for the right reason with the right heart. And this model and the summarizing of that statement are rooted in James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So our vision as a church has been, and hopefully we as individuals as well, has been to continue to be zealous and authentic in our personal relationship with God. That is the goal of True Life Church, to be faithful in seeking and understanding and living out God's will personally, each of us personally beyond the walls of church and us corporately as we gather together as a church. So when we think about the motto and summarizing statement, we say, make it real. As we expand it, it's doing the right thing, and we define the right thing as what? Living according to God's word. and living according to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we say, for the right reason. What does the right reason mean? That we have set our hearts on the fact that we desire to glorify God rather than finding pleasure in the world and feeding our selfish natures with the things that the world has to offer us. And that we would do it with the right heart. In other words, it's not a begrudging attitude that we have in serving God. It's not a sterile, I'm forced or made to serve God, but I joyfully surrender my life to God. I voluntarily surrender my life to His will because His will is the best thing that could ever happen to me in my life. In life, we recognize and we face many decisions, many temptations, and there are many lies that the devil and the world will throw our way that seek to influence us on the important decisions that we make in life. The enemies of the Christian want us to live contrary to the will of God as they seek to control us for their benefit. The statement, make it real, is our response to those enemies. Make it real is an emphasis on our personal relationship and our interaction with God. It is about us choosing a direction in life that it is a core value that says that we desire to honor God above self. It is that core value that says, for as me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So I guess this brings us to a natural question to ask at this time. How's your personal relationship with God going? Who is Lord of your life? Are you doing the right thing as defined by God's word for the right reason to glorify Him rather than self, with the right heart, a joyful surrender of your will to God's will? This is not a question that brings restriction to your life, but it is a question that brings freedom from sin and death, freedom from bad consequences that come as a result of bad fruit resulting from bad decisions. Jesus was clear, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from bondage, free from sin, free from death. Now, all of this is kind of historical information, things that we've talked about in the past as the church that we have considered. And I bring this subject up to you today because I've been thinking about this relational dynamic between Jesus and His disciples going from relationship to companionship to service. And I began to think about that in regard to our relationship with Jesus as a church. I've been thinking about how this relational dynamic should impact us as those who claim to be or desire to be or want to be make it real believers. I've come to this conclusion that being a make it real believer leads us to being a make a difference believer as well. A make a difference believer is a natural progression, the natural next step of being real with God. Let me explain. As our personal relationship with God grows, as we personally surrender our will to God, as we recognize God's faithfulness to us, and as we recognize God's sovereignty, and that in that sovereignty, He has a purpose and plan for our lives, we find ourselves, don't we, desiring to honor God in how we live, desiring to help others to embrace this great and good gift that we have received from God that is not only eternal life, but also peace and strength and joy as we journey through this life. We begin to discover that God in His sovereign plan, has also given us a gift, spiritual gifts, to be spiritual influencers to the common good. Indeed, not all of us will be verbose extroverts who clamor loudly for Jesus. Don't know any people like that. Some of us will be quiet, faithful servants of the Lord, touching others in a more introvertish way. for the kingdom of God. But be sure of this. Make it real, Christ followers, those committed to doing the right thing for the right reason with the right heart, will grow into people who make a difference for Christ in the ways that God will lead them and show them and strengthen them. These past few weeks, I've prayed a lot about TLC and our ministry. I've been thinking a lot about who we are and how we as a church and individuals have sought to make it real with God. And then I asked myself, are we growing naturally into being a make a difference believer? Are we a make a difference kind of people? Let me take you to a number of passages that have been used by the Holy Spirit to direct me to this idea of making it real with God that eventually leads to making a difference for God. Recently, I was reading through the Beatitudes, and as I concluded the blessed statements in the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, 3 through 12, which are relationship statements, I came to verses 13 through 16 on the back of your bulletin there, and it says this in verses 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket and put it on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Do you see that as we read the Beatitudes that talk about relationship, Jesus then takes us from the make a real relationship to the make a difference relationship. That we are salt, that we are light, and that our good works are to shine in such a way that people will seek to want to know and glorify the Father that we know. That's making a difference. This morning, I present to you the challenge that comes from Jesus' very own lips. Christ followers, those who are making it real with God, will grow into Christ followers who make a difference for God. On earth, that's what the text says, and in the world. As Christ followers, we're not just sitting around waiting for heaven to show up. We are the people of God who make a difference for others. We make a difference. Not shoving anything down somebody's throat. That's not what we are. We're not here to shove the gospel down somebody's throat or to slap them around till they get into conformity with what we think. No, what the text is talking about here, we are simply God's children showing the world through what we do and how we act and how we care for them, how wonderful our Heavenly Father is, that they would desire to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father because they see what the relationship we have with the Heavenly Father is like. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Amen. Those who are making it real with God are the ones that must make a difference on earth and in this world. If we aren't making a difference for God in this world, who do you think's going to do that? Are the unsaved going to step up? Are those who believe in false doctrine going to step up? It's us, right? Make it real believers eventually become make a difference believers. Another passage I read over the past couple weeks that challenged my thinking concerning this is from 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 10, again on the back of your bulletin. "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God and Father." Again, relationship. "Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, his choice of you, relationship. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you. Relationship. Verse 6, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, companionship, relationship with God, so that you became an example, a make a difference, example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of God has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything to you. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God, how you turned from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescued us from the wrath to come. Now that term example there, it comes from a Greek term, tupos. Tupos means to stamp or to strike or to leave an indentation on something. If you've ever worked with drywall and you've hung drywall, and back in the old days before you had screw guns and all that kind of stuff, you would nail in a nail to the drywall, and on that last hit of that nail, you would leave an indentation of the hammerhead on the drywall. And eventually it'd come over and it would be butted, and the purpose was so that nail would not be sticking out of the drywall. But my point is that our Christian life should be of such an integrity, of such a way that as we make it real with God, that our personal testimony would strike the lives of other people so as to leave an indentation, a stamp of God's testimony on them, that they would see our good works and seek to glorify our Father in heaven. We are to be two post believers, that our testimony, that our works, that the things that we do make a difference in others, that as they see our life and our testimony, boom, our life bumps up against them, there's a stamp of Jesus left upon them because of what is in us. The other term here, sounded forth, comes from a Greek term where we get our English term echo. Echo is the Greek term. And it means to ring out or to reverberate or to thunder a sound. And you know what an echo is like, that as you shout down the canyon, your voice echoes off the hard places and you go, hello, 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 hello. Do you realize that you are the echo of God to the world? Jesus has said to the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then we become the echo of that message to the non-believers of the world. It makes a difference in them. So we see a relationship that leads to companionship and companionship that leads to making a difference in the lives of others. Another passage, Ephesians 2:10, on the front of your bulletin, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's how the echo is made. Walking in the works that God has prepared for us beforehand. So let me kind of bring this to a close here. As each of these passages suggest, make it real believers eventually become make a difference believers. But I want to make it clear that God must work in us, in other words, make it real in us, before he can work through us to make a difference in others. That makes sense? God-centered action stems from God-centered hearts. We have to be careful that we don't get confused to put good works before our personal relationship with God. Good works in some areas of our life does not justify bad behavior in other areas of our lives. Legalism and works for God done out of the flesh or human wisdom do not result in the outcome God desires or the spiritual growth that He desires in us or in the lives of others. Hypocrisy will always be seen by those closest to us as we want to influence, of those that we want to influence the most. So, where on earth and where in the world does God want His people, make it real followers, to be make it difference believers? Where do we make that difference for the kingdom of God? I suggest to you today that make a different believers will make a difference in three arenas. Number one, at home. Number two, in the church. And number three, throughout the world, the community in which we live. Perhaps the most important place we need to focus our attention in being a make it difference believer is in our home. In some cases, people have been more concerned about their spiritual image in the community than they have been about the lordship of Jesus Christ in their home. For husbands and wives, moms and dads, as you look at make it real walk with God, do you see that your personal faith is being spread into your home in the kind, compassionate, and loving manner that Jesus Christ has been loving, kind, and compassionate towards you? What I'd like to advocate for is that children need to see in the heart of their parents the personal relationship the parents have with Jesus. And they need to see how Jesus guides their parents in making decisions that honor God, that trust God, that trust God's word, and that obey God's will. I believe that the things that we read in Matthew 5 about being the salt and light, and the things that we read in 1 Thessalonians 1 about a faith that works, a love that labors, a hope that is steady, and being a person who is an example of godliness, that we will be in our homes the kind of people that turn from serving idols to serving God. Church, it is so easy to become complacent in our faith at home. It is at home that we tend to take off our robe of patience, our robe of kindness, our robe of love. I remember Linda telling me one day, you can be so patient and kind to everyone who comes into your office. Could you be a little more like that at home? She was right. In my most familiar environment, I was letting myself off the hook to being a make it real believer, doing the right thing for the right reason with the right heart, which impacted negatively the kind of difference that I was making at home. See the relationship between the two. When we let our guard down on making it real with God at home, we harm the positive make a difference person we can be in the community. I am certain that when moms and dads and husbands and wives consider the ways of the world, think about what's happening in our world. Think about the morality that is happening in our world. Think about the way in which people treat one another in our world. Think about the values that are being extolled in our world. Wouldn't you as a parent think, you know, God's way is really a better way than that? And as a parent, I want my children to embrace that better way. Well, mom and dad, it begins with you. We know this world is full of pain and suffering. We know this world is full of immoral temptation and offer people's ways to please themselves rather than honor God. We know the world brings terrible things into our lives
and will ensnare us. So at home, it is important to make it real with Jesus in order that you can make a difference in your home. Due to time considerations, I close here. Relation dynamic between Jesus' disciples. Personal relationship, companionship, making a difference. That's the natural progression and growth that happens in the lives of believers. How's your walk? And how is that walk being manifested at home, in the church, throughout the community? Do those around you see that you have made it real with Jesus and that it impacts your conduct, it impacts your attitudes, it impacts your behavior so that it draws them to your Savior? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for being a gracious and a good God. We thank you that Jesus is not only our Savior, but he is our Lord as well. And I would pray, Lord, that you would help us just to play with these thoughts this week, that make it real believers become make a difference believers. And help us to just maybe think through a little bit this week about how that dynamic is progressing in our personal lives at home and in the church and in the community. Help us to see where we are in that continuum and if we are truly surrendering our will to your will. We do want to be difference makers, Lord, but that only comes as you are making a difference in us. We love you and we praise you. We bring our lives to you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. At the door.